Prologue. Shuttle.
Hello,
Fleming whispered. His eyes focused on the holo image floating half a meter away. A white icon moved slowly along a course projection that curved toward the oblong green icon representing his ship. He couldn't read the caption to the side of the white icon. His eyes were too blurry, and his head hurt too much. Painkillers didn't work for him anymore. He pulled his mind through the throbbing ache. A white icon meant it was a friendly, right? The computer didn't see it as a threat anyway. The computer was probably right. Probably. A warm drop of water splashed across the back of Fleming's left hand as it hovered over the touchpad. He flicked it off impatiently, without looking down. After all these years, had they found a cure? Were they coming from the planet below to bring the rest of the crew to their new home at last? Would he see Maggie again? Hold her in his arms while the girls wrapped themselves around his legs? Well, they would be taller now. They would reach his waist, at least, and Brian wouldn't be a baby anymore. He's a 5-year-old now, in local time, almost 6 in Earth years, growing up without his father, somewhere down there. Another tiny splash on his hands. He glanced down. Condensate? He would have to run diagnostics again on the ship's temperamental envirosis. He touched the wet spot on the back of his left hand with his right forefinger, and then put it to his tongue. It tasted salty. Not condensate. Tears. Craft approaching, Commander. Prime spoke in its Eric voice. Fleming smiled weakly. The memory returned, selecting that voice for Prime Computing, the ship's central artificial intelligence, when he first took command of the Ark Ship Colony 4. He chose it because the voice made Prime sound calm and competent. That was hundreds of years ago, standard time, Earth time. Of course, it didn't feel that long to someone who spent most of the time in stasis sleep. Approaching craft is identified as Shuttle 8, Commander, Prime announced. Yes, that's what it was. One of the ship's long-absent shuttles. Good news! It had been a long while since Dr. Schuller or anyone else sent a shuttle back from the surface. Had they found a cure at last? Since that breach from a sample vial, everyone remaining on the ship had been infected and quarantined. Ironically, the slow-acting virus eventually stopped killing colonists on the planet. Their immune systems adapted with help from local microorganisms. But it was too late for those trapped here in the orbiting bubble, breathing only recycled air. Fleming coughed into his sleeve and turned watery eyes to the display showing the approaching shuttlecraft. His mind had been wandering again. He was having trouble concentrating, but no one left aboard was in much better shape. Most of the officers and specialists were not even able to report to their duty posts anymore. In fact, he was alone on the bridge at this moment. No, that wasn't right. Dr. Patel was sitting at the analytics station. Well, slumping, face down on the desk. But she was still breathing anyway. He should do something for her. Prime, call Dr. Trainer to the bridge.
Copy, Commander, Prime replied.
The door to the bridge slid open with a soft chime, and Dr. Trainer entered. A fatherly figure, Jonathan Trainer, the chief medical officer, divided his time between tending his patients, the remaining 30 members of the skeleton crew aboard the enormous vessel, and his research lab, where he was still working to find a cure for the disease that was killing them. Fleming noticed that Dr. Trainer moved slowly. He was getting worse. He eased Patel into a more comfortable position. Patel mumbled something and then lapsed into unconsciousness again. Dr. Trainer gave her an injection, and Patel came back to life. When she saw the display in front of her, she shot out of her chair.
It's a shuttle!
Yes, Fleming acknowledged. After a moment, he remembered. Shuttle 8.
But that's the first one in...
sputtered Patel. She looked confused. Nearly 4 years, Fleming supplied after another moment's thought.
Who is it? Dr. Trainer asked, looking over Patel's shoulder.
That's what we don't know. The three exchanged worried glances. The shuttle could carry a cure, or it could be something else.
There had been so much turmoil on the surface among the tens of thousands of remaining colonists. The sensors and the dying communications told them that much.
Perhaps it was a big mistake, Patel said finally.
trying to make a new world with people selected from each major Earth culture. They just started feuding all over again when the ship finally found a decent planet. We could be looking at a shuttle full of, what, refugees?
Dr. Trainer nodded bitterly, repeating his old lament. If anyone down there found a cure, they never told us. Last we knew, the factions were fighting each other, and some of them were deliberately destroying Earth tech for some kinds of crazy back-to-nature or religious reasons. I remember how everyone looked up to Dr. Schuller back on Earth. He was just supposed to be an interim director here, but he turned into a dictator, Schuller and his council of experts. I can't blame the people who decided to leave Centrum and get out from under his thumb, our own families included. He's got to be the one behind killing the comms satellites. Didn't want the dissenters talking to us or each other.
The evidence points in that direction, Fleming agreed wearily.
We should have stopped Schuller while we could, Trainer concluded with heat.
Let's not go over that again, Patel interjected. The commander here had a tough call and stayed true to the protocols. He was not supposed to interfere in colony politics. That would just replace one dictator with another. What are we supposed to do anyway? Start shooting meteor deflection lasers at surface targets based on the little intelligence that we have?
Well, Fleming added, we did send down some emergency pods with sat phones when we could figure out who might be getting them. There are some weapons in those pods, too, which could be used for self-defense. We didn't have control of the shuttles. Schuller kept those. But we know the Chinese and Russian colonists grabbed a couple when they left Centrum and weaponized them. They were used up in the fighting with Schuller, or some rival faction.
After a pause, Patel remarked dismally, It makes no sense, this stupid fighting. Without fissionable materials or a reliable source of harmonic crystals on the planet, we must explore more of the planetary system to find all the resources we need to sustain our technology. But it hasn't happened. The crew on the ship is ill and we have no shuttles. Their tech is degrading down there. The fighting isn't helping, or the fanatics who deliberately smash things. Even their solar cells. Well, those and their electronics will be impossible to maintain or reproduce over time. They will soon be reduced to recreating tech from the days of coal and steam. Why did we leave Earth if we can't do any better than this?
Patel sank back down in her seat, defeated.
Maybe we should have kept the colonists awake for part of the voyage, Fleming mused. Planning and working on something, getting them ready to make a colony together.
We didn't have the resources to keep so many awake, Patel pointed out.
So, Dr. Trainer mused, time has passed, but we haven't evolved at all.
Back to our immediate problem, urged Fleming. Where does this shuttle come from?
The display says the shuttle was launched in the south. Near the spine, Patel pointed out. Not Centrum, where Dr. Schuller still rules, as far as we know, or north, where the Russians and Chinese and most of the other Asian factions settled when they broke away. A lot of the French speakers went south, Europeans and Africans and islanders. Some other groups, too, but they weren't involved in the fighting that we know of. The last we heard, your family and Dr. Trainer's left Centrum with the large mixed group that trekked southeast along the coast to a community they were calling Harmony. Not due south.
Patel's expression softened as she glanced at Fleming.
So they're probably not on that shuttle. They probably never got the pod we tried to send them, as we've had no communication from them since they messaged us that they were leaving Centrum. But the scopes showed a large group moving that way. I still think they made it to their new settlement.
Fleming nodded. Thank you. Well, anything could have happened to this shuttle in the meantime. Schuller could have hidden it in the mountains to keep it out of danger after the last raid on Centrum. It looks like a lot of tech was destroyed at that time, along with the main prefab manufacturing and repair facility. We have to consider that... Fleming pressed a button and ordered security to send a reception party to the main docking bay. There was no acknowledgement. Where's Chernoff and the rest of security? He asked Dr. Trainer.
They're all in medical or sick in their beds.
Fleming pondered this.
Prime, follow procedures for receiving a suspicious vessel. Leave the outer docking bay doors open, but seal the inner doors. We want to get a look at our visitors and talk to them before they proceed any farther into the ship.
Copy, Commander, acknowledged Prime.
The shuttle might not be full of refugees or ambassadors, observed Dr. Trainer, nodding. It could be armed colonists, coming to take over the ship.
That's a possibility, Fleming agreed tersely. And then another, more dire thought made its way into his cloudy brain.
Prime, is the shuttle's approach abnormal in any way?
Patel and Trainer looked at him sharply.
Affirmative, Commander. At this distance, Shuttle 8 should be decelerating to dock, but it is now accelerating toward the docking bay. Prime will be required to sound a proximity alarm in 15 seconds.
Fleming's mouth twisted. AI wouldn't sound an alarm until certain pre-programmed limits were exceeded, not unless he asked directly.
Prime, scan the shuttle for personnel and explosives.
After a pause, Prime responded unemotionally.
No data indicating humans aboard the shuttle. No data indicating explosives aboard the shuttle.
Patel started to speak, but Fleming was already having the same thought. There might be no explosives in the shuttle's cargo hold, but the shuttle itself was potentially a bomb, with nuclear material in its power plant. Fleming felt a drop of perspiration running down the side of his face, and his hands were trembling uncontrollably now.
Prime? Fleming asked urgently. Is the shuttle's nuclear power plant operating at nominal levels?
Another brief pause.
Negative, Commander. Data scans indicate that the nuclear power plant is overloading.
That's how they plan to kill his ship. Someone set the nuclear engine to overload, probably hoping to get it inside Colony 4 first. It might destroy the ship, or at least damage it enough to take it out of the equation for the schemers below. But they were fools. If the enormous ship were badly damaged, it would eventually crash to the surface, with potentially disastrous consequences for the settlers. It would be like having a small asteroid fall on the planet, although with lower velocity. Still, it could trigger earthquakes, tsunamis, long-lasting atmospheric dust clouds.
Prime, close the outer docking bay doors.
Copy, Commander. Outer docking bay doors will seal in 14 seconds.
Prime, hail the shuttle again.
Shuttle 8, identify. Shuttle 8, identify. Shuttle 8, identify.
Prime, stop, Fleming ordered. Maybe the shuttle's communications array was damaged.
No, the beacon worked, and no one was on board.
Prime, assume the shuttle's nuclear power plant overloads. What is the minimum safe distance from Colony 4?
Explain.
Fleming expelled a burst of air in exasperation. AI couldn't intuit what he wanted to know. He looked over at Patel for help, but Patel was gripping the edge of her console, staring into space, and a blood vessel over her left temple was visibly throbbing. Dr. Trainer still stood beside Patel. His face had gone very pale, even for spaceship crew.
Prime, with both the outer and inner docking bay doors closed, at what distance will a nuclear explosion on the shuttle damage Colony 4?
A pause.
An explosion at the current distance will cause light damage to the hull. If the shuttle reaches a distance of 16,890 meters from Colony 4, there is a probability greater than 50% that the explosion will breach the hull and cause damage inside the ship. Do you require more data on the projected damage?
No. Prime, set point defense lasers to destroy the shuttle as soon as it comes within 20,000 meters of Colony 4.
Confirm safety override to destroy Colony 4 shuttle.
Confirmed!
Safety override acknowledged, Commander. Laser set to destroy target Shuttle 8 at 20,000 meters.
Fleming watched the shuttle race closer. From the corner of his eye, he could see that Patel and Trainer were staring intently at Patel's display. The images on his holo showed the shuttle's distance from the ship in kilometers, a number that steadily counted down as the scanners refreshed. 1,500, 900, 400, 100, 50. At 20 kilometers, a green laser beam, clearly visible on Fleming's holo display, slashed out at the shuttle, visibly heating its leading surface for a moment before obliterating the craft in a spectacular, if silent, explosion.
Prime, report damage to Colony 4, Fleming ordered.
Superficial damage to hull in sector G12.3.
Fleming shivered and reached for his hydration tube. The container was empty. He'd have to send for a bot to refill his water and bring some nutrient bars. As he stared morosely at his display, Fleming was lost in dark thoughts. He knew he wasn't thinking clearly, but he had to try. Someone had just launched the last operational shuttle, as far as he knew, in an attempt to disable or destroy the ship. There had been no response for nearly 2 local years when Prime tried to hail any working sat phones on the planet. So Fleming had no way to reach the surface of the planet or talk to people down there. He would never see Maggie again. He was probably dying, along with the rest of the crew aboard. He should go and check on the crew, but but he really didn't have the energy. Maybe in a few minutes, when he recovered his strength.
Dr. Patel, why don't you go lie down for a while? Fleming said at last.
Hearing nothing in reply, he turned to see Dr. Trainer kneeling next to Patel, who was stretched out awkwardly on the deck. Dr. Trainer looked up.
She's gone.
Heart, he said. I don't think I can lift her. Have Prime send a cleaning bot for the body. I'm sorry. Fleming nodded slowly. It was clear to him now what had to be done.
Jonathan, we're all dying here, and I don't think help is coming from the planet. I have one last order for you, and anyone else who is still able to move. Go and get into a stasis tube. Maybe someone will find a cure down there and share it with us while we're still alive. Maybe not. Make your peace, and take the chance.
And yourself?
My place is here. In case a call comes through, or another shuttle, if there is one.
Who knows? Maybe someone down there will find a cure and take pity on us. I'll have Prime put me in a light sleep and keep me going for a while with the bots.
Dr. Trainer started to protest, but the words died in his throat when he saw the expression on his commander's face. He nodded sadly.
Yes, sir.
God be with you, sir.
With those archaic but somehow comforting words, Dr. Trainer turned and moved slowly toward the door. Fleming heard the door open and close. He didn't think he would be hearing anyone come through that door ever again.